Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to Rosie on the House. It's the special 4th of July edition, and we're here to answer any question you might have about your house, home, castle, or cabin in a patriotic way. As a matter of fact, everyone that you call in this morning and reach us at 1-888-767-4348 may just have to answer a trivia question about the Declaration of Independence before we'll take your question. And anyone that calls the show must have Old Glory on display somewhere on their property prior to phoning 1-888-767-4348. You know, one of the things I'm asked, and this week was a shortened week due to the holidays, but it was also a high stress week due to circumstances we're all fully aware of. And I was on the phone with three separate people over the course of the week, and they said, Rosie, is there anything I can do to repay your help in this particular situation? And I said one thing. Yeah, there's one thing you can do. You can tell your neighbors about Rosie on the House, because just as we saved you that grief, that anxiety, that money, we can do the same thing for your neighbors. So if you'd like to show your appreciation for the show, make sure your family and friends know about Rosie on the House. We're here to help guide you through every maze and problem, anxiety, and fear of home ownership. And in the first hour of the morning, right here, 8 to 9, we're always out in the garden. We have my daughter, dear Peanut, on the phone lines. She is our operator on standby for your calls at 1-888-767-4348. If you hear a small infant in the background when you're calling, that's because she has her little baby in arms there, and so it's going to be a little bit exciting how she juggles all that, but she is a master of the multitasking. We have Romy here, my show co-host. We have Mike Reisch on the board, operating all the engineer big buttons. Sweet Jennifer's here off to my right to guide us and direct us and keep us on track.
Good morning.
Thank you, darling. And we have special guest in this morning for the landscaping hour, Mr. Bill Jenkins of Think Green Irrigation and Landscaping. Bill, thanks for taking time out of your... I'm always appreciative of our guests who come in, and I know they're taking time away from their weekend family time.
Well, good morning, and thank you for having me.
Well, we appreciate you being willing to come in and join us. Hey, this show, we're talking all 3 hours about home security. And, you know, as it relates to making your home secure, there are some certain strategies, techniques, and plant selections you can make to kind of enhance your security. I'm thinking like immediate, like right outside the bedroom window.
Oh, sure. I mean, good landscape design, it takes all those things into consideration. And you can use plant material as a screen, or like I say, if you don't want a person there, put a plant there.
A mean plant.
You're right.
A mean plant.
Angry plant.
Yeah, like what?
Oh, gosh. That's easy in Arizona. Everybody knows how thorny and stickery most of the things are that we work with. So cacti, agave, ocotillo, all the segmented cacti. Boy, there's just a ton of them you can put in.
Now, police will tell you that, you know, put something aggressive right there. But the firemen will tell you not to, because if they need to get in for a fire, you need to get out.
You don't want to block the ability to get out of a window. But, you know, I don't know about you, but if I wanted to keep people out and there was a cactus in my way and it was a fire situation, I don't think I'd care.
You'd make your way over that cactus one way or the other.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a problem. A couple of thorns, no problem.
Well, you know, one of the things I talk about in home security a lot is you want to make your home the least attractive target on the block. And so whether those cacti actually are physical deterrent or not, they'll certainly be a visual deterrent.
Move on.
Go to the next easier target right down the road. Exactly.
That looks painful. We'll move on. Right.
Now, you said segmented. Tell me what that means.
Oh, the puncha, like a staghorn or any
ooh,
of the...
Those are mean.
Chain
they
link.
Are. Right. Of course, any of the choya, those are nasty.
Yes.
Just any of the like Santa Rita prickly pear, that's a good one. Prickly pear.
I would go that route.
Sure.
It a lot less to pick up. You know, a choya you see out in the desert.
Oh, sure.
There's a huge,
that was
big
a
drop
nasty
all the
choice.
Way around it. And but then on the prickly pear, you can have your fruit, too.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Make some jam.
And it can propagate itself fairly low.
Well, and they're easy to propagate, too.
They are, aren't they?
Very easy.
How do you do that?
If you have one, you can have all you want.
How do you do that?
Just knock a pad off and put it in the dirt. It's about that simple. Get
and
it wet,
and
it'll
she
grow.
Takes off.
And how?
Now, other than plant selection, you also got hardscape features you can consider. Again, some things that the police department would discourage you from doing, the fire department would encourage you to do: raise planters in front, raised outdoor planters in front of windows, make it very hard to get out.
Right.
I mean, consequently, they make it very easy to get in.
Mm-hmm. A nice step.
Yeah, nice step. But hardscaping is one dimension of creating a barricade.
Sure, just all goes back to landscape design and looking for, you know, what's your intention here and what are your concerns, and you offer the landscape design ideas to solve the problems.
And lighting would be another dimension.
That's an excellent topic.
And we would go, I know, like the time, like at my house, we've just got it on a simple timer. Mm-hmm. Comes on at dusk and starts off at a certain particular night. But I could keep those hot all night long on motion-activated beams through the yard.
That's true. And, you know, we like to use layers of light. Maybe you'll have a little landscape lighting to light the dark areas, you have a little cubby or a corner. You might put a little light in that corner for a little security and also for visual interest.
And can you trigger some lights on and off?
Sure. And then, of course, you can use a motion sensor to fire up another layer of lighting. With a separate power center, for instance, that could light a little more of the yard. And of course, there's security lighting as well that can be mounted on a house.
Well, yeah, of course, you've got that, which is motion-sensored one way or another. But I find that there's a couple dilemmas with that kind of lighting. And it was my intent to cover that later in the show. But the little plastic lens sunburns after a while.
For a few years.
And starts going out, so it has to be replaced. The other option is you have to have the discipline to go out there and check the bulbs every once in a while, flip them on, activate them, and make sure they're still on. And unless they're very high, they're kind of easy to overcome, if you know what I mean. But the security lighting.
Oh, like reach up and unscrew it?
Like reach up and unscrew it. But landscape security lighting sometimes with a low beam or a low motion detector is a little less predictable. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and just considering the fact that you want to light those spaces to begin with the new LED technology that we have, you can light a whole yard, and it's amazing how little power you're using. So leave them on and enjoy the visual effects as well as the security aspect.
The LED lighting, that is something we can talk about a little bit later in the show, because that is kind of a new dimension here just within the last two or three years.
A revolution. It's fantastic.
It really is that good, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we'll be talking about that. We'll be talking about security, and we'll be talking about anything you'd like to visit with. Our lines are open. Our number's 1-888-767-4348.
Here's something great to do at night time, as we were talking about lighting. How about a flashlight tour? Have you seen this at the Botanical Gardens?
I think I just heard about it.
It is going on now through August 31st, Thursday and Saturday nights, 7 to 9. And you get a flashlight, obviously, make sure it works. Bring your kids down. And it is about $6 a person, it looks like. And you walk around and discover the desert at night. They have agave stations, night blooming stations, tarantula stations, gecko lizard station, snake station. But I'm pretty sure they're well contained. Frogs, night birds, and then they've got a naked eye sky station. I mean, so the amount of wildlife that actually is out there at night in the desert is pretty, you forget about it. I mean, I was sitting here reading through all the different things, and I know what I'm doing Saturday night now.
Sounds like fun.
It makes a great sales component for all the RV dealers.
Oh, there you go.
People getting off the ground of their sleeping bags and sleeping pegs and into the RV.
I don't want to lay on the floor with that.
Oh, man, there's a lot out there. I'll tell you.
Creepy crawlies.
Yeah, there are. There are. I don't think people have a clue how much moves in on the desert floor at night.
Now, when we're talking about things moving out at night, you know, one of the things that I always liked is a very well landscaped house with lots of mature trees hanging down low. But if you can't see the home, somebody else can be between the home and you. So there's a difference between privacy, shade screening, and security.
Oh, certainly. And that goes back again to good landscape design. You might have an entryway, for instance, where you don't want to do a traditional row of shrubs along there because you're creating a perfect hiding place for someone. I'm going to keep that open.
Oleanders were popular for a lot of years.
Oh, yes. You know, dwarf oleander or you know, any kind of a green shrub that's going to grow up to be 3, 4, 5 feet high, and that's a hiding place.
It's a perfect hiding place.
Yeah, so do something different.
And not Italian cypress either. Let me just put that out there. Not Italian cypress.
Now you're dating yourself.
I still don't quite get the Italian cypress.
A key component of security, of course, is always visual contact to the front of your house. I don't think people realize how often it's the front of the house that's actually the point of entry for a burglar. And it's important that people on the street, your neighbors across the street adjacent to you, have good visual line of sight into the front of your house. So in that proper landscaping scheme, let's make sure we've, and the layers of light, let's make sure we're providing an opportunity for people to clearly see the house and the structure itself. It makes a big difference on whether or not your house, because as a bad guy, as a burglar is driving through the neighborhood casing the homes, he's looking for the easiest target. When we get back, we'll talk more about how not to make your house the easiest target.
Yeah, we'll also have some advice on monsoons that are coming. We're talking about proper tree staking. Make sure we're watering properly year-round so that we have good root growth, thinning out the canopy so the trees don't knock over. And we're going to take your calls at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. Gail's first online with a drips, with a question on drips system emitters. So we'll get to her right after this. It's Rosie on the House.